sports, politics, life. Amazing Garage Floors presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at AmazingGarageFloors.net.
Does anyone care and will anyone ask any questions of Joe Biden about his business dealings with his son Hunter in Ukraine, China, multiple countries, but most specifically the energy company Burisma inside Ukraine, as we now have more damning information? Is it just, it's like floodgates every day, what the GOP is learning. And the big question here is, will anyone on the left in the media begin to cover these stories so Americans actually know what's going on here with the Bidens compared to what's going on with Trump, essentially, and learn the information about what their president did as vice president, what he's likely continued to do throughout his entire career? Here's the new stuff. This is great. At one point in 2014, I mean, this is, remember, Joe Biden has said he has never spoken with his son about any of his business dealings. Never. I mean, as adamant as can be, never even once did it come up. And these people are steadfast in the fact that Joe was not part of this. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't talk to Hunter. There was nothing to see here at all. Joe Biden has just walked around and lied his entire life about this stuff. And now we have information from the GOP unearthed in an email that Hunter sent an email to Burisma, the people that they were partnered with, basically at the Energy Corporation, and said, please take down the picture of my dad and Devin Archer on your company's website. We got Joe Biden saying he never spoke with his son about any of the business dealings. But at one point in 2014, Burisma was so proud of being affiliated with Joe Biden, he was on their website. Not like as a board member, so you're like, hey, this is our guy. Here's our pit bull. And Devin Archer was on there too. And Hunter had to notify these people, say, hey, shh, take that stuff down. What we're doing here is not kosher. It's not legal. Take down a picture of my dad, the vice president, and Devin Archer. And they obliged and they did it. But you can't even make this up. That is so sloppy, stupid, and hilarious. I can't do anything but laugh about this anymore. I mean, these people are buffoons as criminals. This is, man, if this was private business, if this was something that was shady going on out there, or it was a Republican, I mean, imagine if this was like, I don't even remember the guy's name. What was that goofy Republican congressman in New York that they were all fixated on forever? I apologize for not knowing. I did not write this down as part of my notes. They've been all over him. I think he might still be in the House. Maybe he hasn't quit yet, but he's not going to run again. The Republicans have sworn him off. I mean, they just circled the wagons around nobody, like a complete nobody in the House of Representatives, and it became like this giant national story, and it's all the Democrat media fixated on was this guy. Can you imagine if Trump actually had done all this stuff? What if when Trump was president, his son was dealing with a Ukrainian energy company, making millions and millions of dollars, and Trump's picture was on the website, and we got an email from Don Jr. to Burisma, hey, take my dad's picture down. And my best friend over here who's making us all this money, it's not cool. Take that stuff down. And yet Trump says, I never talked to Don once. I've recused myself and have no idea what he was doing. He was doing it all on his own. Who in the world would believe that? The answer is nobody. We also now have information linking Joe Biden to a dinner with Hunter and oligarchs from Ukraine and Russia. The dinner was in Washington, D.C., and Joe Biden was in attendance. It's part of the records information that you can get over the actual schedule of the vice president of the United States. The GOP says they have $20 million worth of bank records now of receipts, account of receivables by the Bidens of at least $20 million. This is presumed to be from Ukraine and Burisma. Again, there are multiple countries involved and all kinds of other things going on, but it seems like they're locking in now on Ukraine. And I think this is smart to be locking in on Ukraine, because we've got to end our funding of this war. And it will be very easy to go out on the campaign trail and tell the American people the reason Joe Biden has sent $200 billion to Ukraine for this war is Ukraine has made he and his family rich. That's an easy link for people to understand. That's a very simple headline. Joe Biden is sending your money to Ukraine because they've made his family rich. That works. That resonates with voters. That makes sense with everyone. And it's sort of what we expect when we expect the worst of our politicians. Archer, for his part, gave another interview now, not testimony, an interview. And he said, the prosecutor that Joe Biden brags about, well, son of a bitch. 6 hours later, he was fired. Remember that? The prosecutor that he had fired, according to Devin Archer, apparently he was not asked about this in his first testimony, but will be next time. He has now offered this up in an interview, that the prosecutor that Biden had fired in Ukraine, the prosecutor was literally going after Burisma and board members to try to break up the company and disband it. So why would Joe Biden want that prosecutor fired? Well, there were millions of dollars coming into the Hunter Biden family. Is anybody going to ask Joe? This is the only question. Is the man ever going to do an interview? Is he ever going to have a news conference? Is anyone ever going to ask him? And if he agrees to some sort of a goofy sit down with George Snuffleupagus, will George Snuffleupagus even ask him? I don't have the answer. My inkling here is there's not one Democrat, liberal journalist in the world that will sit down and get a sit down interview with the president. They would probably do it on a precondition that they won't ask, or that there will be one question that they ask. It will be open-ended and give Joe a chance to answer it, and then no follow-up. And this is how you know, they all want access. There is no access. I don't know why they worry so much about getting access. If this, even if this were like a Republican in this kind of trouble, if it were a Republican and I were a right-leaning journalist, man, I'd want the story. I would go in there like a pit bull and ask the questions and see if I could trip up the person and make news and make a difference and hold authority into account. That is the job of the media. That's the work of journalism. And if you're George Snuffleupagus, when you go in there, you put everything aside of which party you belong to. And you do the story for ABC News, but it's not going to happen. Nobody's going to ask Joe Biden these questions. This stuff is mounting. Look, there's so much time left before the election. If it was this November, I'd be concerned that this whole thing just gets swept away. But we've got over a year on this thing to really do some damage to Joe Biden and his lies. And at least what we really need is at some point is not necessarily an apology, just a contradiction, a complete admission that, yes, I forgot. People would believe this probably. I just misremembered. You know, they always like to take words and try to make it confusing what it is exactly they're saying with misinformation, disinformation. I mean, fake news is much easier than misinformation, right? So would Joe Biden say, you know, I when I was asked that question, have I ever had a conversation? Well, I never really had a conversation, but there were times I was around Hunter and people he was doing business with, but we didn't talk about business. He could probably weasel his way around this thing, but we've got to at least at some point get Joe Biden to comment on this. And that has to happen. Sometime before the debates. Although, if there is a debate between Trump and Joe Biden, I think, Trump was pretty aggressive last time, but he was the sitting president. And so, you know, it was a situation where he didn't want to overdo the debates because he was already the president, and I think he thought he was going to win. Didn't think there'd be all this election fraud that was out there, but he thought he was going to win. But he was still pretty tough about the money they made in China and things like that. I can imagine Trump just completely railroading and commandeering the debate and taking the moderator right out of it on this topic and like really getting up in Joe Biden's face from 10 feet apart. Maybe even stepping away from the podium saying, are you going to answer it, Joe, or not? You stole this money. It's against the law what you did. You're selling our policy for your gain, your enrichment. You're the worst of DC. And I don't see how a moderator could even stop Trump if that happened in a debate. So maybe that's where it happens, because maybe nobody really asks him before then. All right, a couple weeks ago, I got something really interesting in the mail. I'll be curious to see if I get any emails from you that you received this as well, and exactly what it is. I don't have a lot of context on this. It is from United States Department of Commerce, U.S. Census Bureau, on behalf of a national survey of children's health. It's from Robert L. Santos, the director. And it says, I was chosen randomly, which, okay, whatever. Attached is a thank you. It says, we greatly appreciate your help with this important national survey. We've enclosed a small token of appreciation for your participation. The results of this study will help educators, researchers, policymakers, child advocates and the general public better understand and respond to the healthcare needs of children and families. Half of this is in Spanish. Half of it's in English. Okay. Educators, researchers, policymakers, child advocates, and general public, the needs of healthcare for children and their families. They attach a $5 bill to this, which I still—it's still attached. I have not taken it off. I'm not gonna keep the $5 bill if I don't fill out the survey. And I'm looking for direction here on whether I should fill out the survey or not. They sent me a follow-up letter that says you have not replied to the survey and you're somehow required or mandated to do it. And my response to that is I don't think I am by law mandated to reply to this survey. The census maybe the census. That's not what this is. This is the Department of Health and Human Services, a national survey of children's health. And I'll read you the follow-up here is your address has been selected to participate in the National Survey of Children's Health. The survey collects information that is used to improve the health of children and families throughout the United States. The U.S. Census Bureau conducts this survey on behalf of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The success of this survey depends on your participation. The results will help your state better understand and respond to health care needs of children and their families. If there are no children age 0 to 17 in your household, we still want to hear from you. And the survey should take less than 5 minutes. On average, for households with children, the survey should take about 40 minutes. So why, if the Department of Health and Human Services wants to gain information, do they need the U.S. Census Bureau to send this out and scare people that they have to do this by law in order to get the information? And why have I lived in this country for 59 years and never seen anything like this until post-COVID? Anybody want to crack at that? To me, I haven't gotten into it, that there's going to be some questions in there that I feel like they're trying to identify our household. I feel like the Census Bureau and the Department of Health and Human Services are in some way trying to identify us as certain types of people. I don't like the Department of Health and Human Services. I don't trust them anymore. I don't trust the CDC. The Census Bureau, I don't really have a reason not to trust other than I constantly see Democrats trying to jerry-rig with the census laws, you know, when you can take a census, when you can do whatever. And I know that it has to do with voting and how many congressmen you have in your state and things like that. You cannot receive anything in 2023 America. You cannot receive anything from your government today. The likes of this, it's a giant return envelope, several pages of stuff. You cannot receive something like this and not be skeptical. This is, I immediately pause on it and like, do I even want to touch this? What happens if I ignore it? If I ignore it, am I flagged in a computer somewhere? What kind of a problem do I have if I just let it go? I've had it for a few weeks and I haven't mentioned it here on the podcast. I waited, I got a follow-up letter. And now I'd like to hear from you if you've received one and if you filled it out. Or more importantly, so many of you are very smart and maybe work in or around these agencies or have experience with this. Why? Why am I getting this now? There's no way this is completely, you know, coincidental that these are being sent out post-COVID and we've got kids sick everywhere from taking the jab. It's just legitimate questions. I don't have the answers, but the thing scares the hell out of me. I'm scared to fill it out. I'm scared to not fill it out. Why am I scared of my government? This is America. This is so bad. Why am I scared of this? Why am I scared of this? Why is Clarence Thomas not scared of pretty much everyone? Clarence Thomas is a great Supreme Court justice. He's been there for a long time, a long, long time. And they'll do anything to change the Supreme Court, people on the left. So the most recent attack on Clarence Thomas, who should be like their poster child for what works in America, a black man on the Supreme Court, they don't care about black men. They don't care about skin color. They just care about votes. They hate Clarence Thomas. The New York Times, a newspaper in Texas, a couple of TV networks are now all feeding off one another. This is one of those feeding frenzy stories where one outlet puts a little thing out, then another one adds something to it, another one adds to that. It's like a feeding frenzy on Clarence Thomas that, get this, 30 years ago, the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, and Jerry Jones belongs to some Horatio Alger society or something, and so does Clarence Thomas, so they're in the same society of overachievers, like high achievers or something. So they're in this group together, and Jerry Jones gives him a Super Bowl ring. So they're all reporting this story that this is a 30-year-old conflict, that a justice has been for sale to the Cowboys owner and God knows who else. The NFL, you remember, liberals hate the NFL. They hate NFL owners. They hate football because they know who loves and watches football. It's like 80% conservatives love and watch football. So they hate football. So they got everything they hate right here. They got a black conservative justice. They hate that. They hate Jerry Jones. They hate Texas largely. They just do. And they hate football fans, and they hate football. So it's all right here. And they're reporting that this ring could be worth well over $100,000 online if Clarence Thomas wanted to sell it. He's had it all these years. And they get the ring wrong. It's the wrong Super Bowl ring. They're so bad at their reporting, they couldn't even get it right. They played the Bills back-to-back years, right, and beat them. And so they're saying it's from the first time they did that, but it's the second time they did that. They got everything wrong on this story. But here's the best part. Guess what the ring is really worth? It's not worth over $100,000. What do you think the ring is really worth? Well, I can buy one. It's not personalized. They just gave him one. I can buy one on eBay for $12. It's a replica. It's a nothing ring. It may be a little heavy, but there's no real gold or diamonds or something. There's nothing in it. These are all over the place, 30 years old, selling for $12 online if you want to buy one. And in fact, Clarence Thomas reported this on his ethics sheet 30 years ago when he got it. You have to report things people give you. If somebody takes you, like if you're on the Supreme Court, journalists should have to do this. Politicians should all have to do this, and they don't have to do it to the same extent that Supreme Court justices do. But if somebody provides Clarence Thomas with a hotel room or a flight somewhere, whatever, you got to claim that. You have to declare that you did this and show a good reason why, not just for tax purposes or whatever, but for ethics purposes, ethics reasons. He claimed this in an ethics form 30 years ago that he accepted it. I'm certain, and Clarence Thomas isn't commenting. He's got a buddy of his who says, "Oh yeah, I've had the ring in my hand. I've seen it. I was there when he gave it to him. You know, the whole thing." And he was clearly told it's a replica. It's not worth anything. So he just put it on an ethics thing. Hey, I'll take this tiny little token of appreciation from a fellow member that's in a club that I'm in as a thank you, as a kind of a neat little memento. Apparently Clarence Thomas uses it as a paperweight. This is where we are with the liberal media in this country. The New York Times, television networks doing stories about a 30-year-old story that Clarence Thomas has a paperweight on his desk that they think is worth over $100,000. They couldn't have gotten it more wrong. These people are idiots. I know what happens. They're very young. They don't really know the world yet. They think they do. They know what they've been taught. They see something like this and go, "Oh my God, Super Bowl ring. We're going to go get them." And they run a story, and everybody now in the media is young. They don't even know there is such a thing as a replica. These aren't sports people. These are politics people. It never even occurred to them that this thing could be a fake, a knockoff. I once upon a time, when I was very young, for Channel 4, went to New York and covered a Chiefs-Jets game. And it was exciting. It was fun. I went there many times. They played the Giants there too. And I enjoyed going to New York when I was younger. It was just eye-opening and fun. And, you know, we had a little bit of an expense account. Not a lot of spare time, but a little bit. And we had some time one day, and I literally bought I knew what I was buying. I bought a fake Rolex for my wife and brought it home. And I gave it to her kind of as a gag gift. I'm like, "Look what I got you. I went to New York and got you a Rolex." "Well, it's 10 bucks. It was from a guy on a street corner. Everybody knows it's fake." That's easy. We all know what this is. I'm not stupid. I'm young enough to know that there are knockoffs. Do the New York Times really have reporters that are not young enough to know that they do replicas and knockoff rings? And the ring that Clark Hunt isn't the same one that the assistant part-time grounds crew guy got, they're not the same rings. They don't all get the same ring, but they also make just flat out replicas. You can buy one. I think they sell them online now to like Chiefs fans. If you want to get a replica ring, you can go buy one. I think they maybe charge like $149 for them. That's probably a $5 ring you're buying for $149. And it has some similarities and looks like it. Mostly it just has the score on it and shows the Chiefs won. And if you want to be the douchey Chiefs fan that walks around and says, look at my Super Bowl ring, knock yourself out. They're available. You can get one. That doesn't mean you worked for the team or played on the team or deserve a Super Bowl ring. They make these things, and Clarence Thomas has one, and that's what these folks are doing. It is just hysterical to watch the way they work. We love our friends at Window World. Window World is simply the best for less. Customer satisfaction is such a big part of their game. We know that they have American-made windows, siding, doors, and awesome products with lifetime warranties. They also offer 0% financing right now. If you're looking for replacement windows, it's a good time to do it. Fall is coming. It's a little cooler. It's going to be a little better time of year to have the work done the next 2 or 3 months than the heat of the summer. So enjoy that. Why don't you call Window World? Just give them a call and have them out and say, hey, listen, I got a problem with this window or this sliding door or storm door. Can you replace it? 816-799-0820. 85 counties in Kansas and Missouri and parts of Iowa. Window World will come to you. One phone call does it all. 816-799-0820 or log on to windowskansascity.com. The Finch Knife Company is online at finchknifeco.com. These are creators and manufacturers of the greatest pocket knives you've ever seen. Beautiful mother of pearl, wood, bone pocket knives with 154-centimeter U.S. steel blades keep life from getting dull with a tool that looks as good as it works. And that is the truth with Finch Knife Company. The Flint series is out. The Hatfield and McCoys are out. The Shiv series is out. All kinds of new series of Finch pocket knives available right now at finchknifeco.com. If a year or two ago you got the Cherry Bomb, which is the one I've always loved, you should check out the new collection too. Add one to your collection at finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. And my friends Tim and Mike at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. Don't settle for a 3-year warranty when you can get the lifetime warranty at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. How about this right now? 1.9% APR on brand new Chevy Silverado crew cabs, 1.9 APR on Equinox SUVs, 0.9% on GMC Sierra 1500 5.3 liters. Ooh. 1.9% APR on GMC Acadia SUVs, and the Buick Encore GX has 1.9 APR and 1250 cash allowance. It is all right there. Teachers, educators, military, $500 additional bonus, and your trade-in is worth more than ever at Roberts Robinson. The guys there are telling me they're giving an average of $2,000 to $5,000 more for trade-ins than the other guys. They want your car, even if you're not buying one for them. RobertsRobinson.com. I got a terrific email here from Alexander. That's all I'm going to say. I won't say his last name. And he said I could use this, but I don't really want to give him away too much. And this got me thinking. I've been making the point that I disagree with Trump about early voting, because my theory is the more we continue to wait until Election Day, the more people will find a reason to not vote on Election Day. I'm convinced this is the case because I know so many people in my life that plan to vote and then they go, well, I didn't, but our vote wouldn't have counted anyway. Most of these people, in my opinion, if they're waiting until the last day to vote, I think statistically we would find they're Republicans or independents that lean right. These are the people we have to get. We need to start organizing with our friends, getting them to vote early, taking them and saying, hey, let's run over to the, I'll tell you what, call my buddies up. I'll buy you guys lunch. Let's go to lunch. Let's all go vote first. 10 days before the election, we'll go to the election office, cast our votes, we'll go to lunch. Then it's done. Then not a one of them can use the excuse of something came up on Election Day. Well, this is even worse than that. Alexander emails me and says, Kevin, I wanted you to know, in case you didn't, that a consumer can order a download from the Kansas Secretary of State's office for the entire voter registration and voting history database. I think the fee is something like $150. You have to demonstrate a rational reason for wanting to purchase it, but you can do it. I used to buy this and actually put it online for a small group of people to have access to. I used to routinely look people up that I was doing business with to see if they were registered as a Republican, Democrat, or unaffiliated. It came in handy. More importantly, there's a flag on the record for each election, including primaries, that shows whether or not the person you're looking at showed up to cast a vote. The intel was critical to determine which Republicans are most likely to show up, and those are the ones candidates would target with mailers. Recently, a neighbor of mine who proudly hoists a USA flag and a Make America Great Again Trump flag had us over for drinks and we were talking politics. The guy, as usual, was going off on Biden and all the dirty Dems. As a joke, I told him about my database and I asked him why it looks like he didn't show up to vote the last three elections. Please note that I do not maintain this database anymore and I was only joking with my friend. To my surprise and everyone around the fire pit, he said he's never cast a vote in his entire life because his vote doesn't matter. Sad state of affairs, to say the least. Final, Kevin, if you didn't know this, could you see how the Democrats could steal an election with this information? How about that abortion amendment where 200,000 people allegedly voted no by mail but didn't vote for any other candidate? You realize how easy it would be to identify 200,000 voters in Kansas that don't show up to vote? Wow, he's so right. So you find the people that don't vote. You know they don't vote. You fake their ballots. You turn them in. They don't even know you did it because they don't get the database and see that they voted. That's crazy. Now, my takeaway from this thing and what I told Alexander was, you know, what really bothers me about this thing is the politicians, if you voted and you're a Republican, you get all kinds of crap in the mail. They're all after you, right? Because they see who and what you are. We're doing it wrong. We need to attack the registered independents and Republicans that don't vote with materials that explain to them how important it is to vote. Not just your vote matters or you know, your civic responsibility or whatever. Explain to them that the reason things have become so extreme is because too many people in the center and on the right are not voting. I'm telling you, it's got to be millions of people that plan on voting on election day that don't. That they're going to do it and then they don't. Because it only takes a tiny excuse. This is becoming a passion of mine. I'm going to get somebody on from either Missouri or Kansas GOP and I'm going to ask them what kind of data they have on this. I need to find this out. We've got to vote early. We have to vote early and we got to do it in person. We got to vote early and do it in person. You just have to. You just have to. And you got to organize some of your friends. I've got three friends in particular that I'm going to tell right now, we're going and doing this. We'll do it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or something before the Tuesday election, that we're going to go do this. We're going to do it early. You're going to go. As I recall, last November, Jessica and I went and voted together in person on election day. Or did we go early? We might have gone just a little bit early. All I remember was it was pouring rain. And we went over to a JoCo library near where we live, and that's where we voted. And it was fine once we got in there and everything was great, but it was pouring rain. And all I could think of was how many people are not voting because it's pouring rain. It doesn't take much. We got to get on this. Congratulations and a giant. No, I shouldn't say it. I was going to say congratulations and a middle finger to the person in Neptune, Florida, who won $1.6 billion on Tuesday night in the Mega Millions. There were seven other millionaires made in this thing nationwide. This person lives near Jacksonville at Neptune, Florida, at a Publix store, bought the winning ticket. Only one person got the winning ticket, and that person now won $1.6 billion. The immediate cash payout is somewhere around $800 million. If you want to take it all now, it's some $800 million. And, you know, it's been easy for everybody to say, oh, you take it now, you pay your taxes on it, then over time it does this and this and this. I wonder if there can't be, because you're in the highest tax bracket either way. There's no tax break in taking it over time unless taxes go down. That would be the only thing. And so that's correct. There's no reason to believe taxes are going to go down, I guess. So this person won $1.6 billion. To put that in perspective, in a little bit later at the end of sports, we're going to do a story about gambling in Kansas. in the state of Kansas in the first year. That's what was wagered, $1.6 billion. This one person won as much money on a dollar on a $2 lottery ticket as the entire state of Kansas bet on sports last year. That's just a whopping amount of money, $1.6 billion in Mega Millions. Cross Kitchens could do a pretty nice remodel if you won the Mega Millions for you. I mean, they could probably turn your property into what Patrick Mahomes has. If you want to keep your property and remodel it, you could probably just buy your neighbors out, clear the land, put a golf hole in, build a fishing hole. You got $1 billion. I'm sure Tim will work with you. I feel sure he'll work with you. If you don't, if you just have a few thousand and you want to change some countertops and some flooring and freshen up your home, Tim loves those projects too. He's great at the small job. They're awesome at the big job. They treat everyone the same. That's pretty much the conservative way. It's a great family, and his craftsmen on the job have been with him for years and years. So why don't you give Cross Kitchens a call? If you're thinking about retiling your shower, any of these projects, you know, new shower doors, retile your shower, do your bathroom counters, whatever it may be, get rid of that old jacuzzi tub that they used to put in the houses that nobody uses and put something cooler in that area and rebuild that, do whatever you want to do. Whatever it is you want to do, Cross Kitchens KC can help you. Call Tim at 816-898-7047. It's crosskitchenskc.com. Buck Roofing and Construction can do the work on your roof. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Big storms again. Man, we've had a lot of rain the last couple of weeks. A lot of rain. If you're seeing ceiling spots, if you've had some wind damage, if you've even seen like trees down in your yard or branches, you should call and have your roof inspected. If it's a few years old, you should have Ron or somebody climb up there and take a look. Make sure some bad things didn't happen before it's too late. 913-384-2680. Mention the podcast and your inspection is absolutely free. What's it hurt to get a free roof inspection? 913-384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. And the new car image will restore your car to better than showroom new. The promo code at the website, thenewcarimage.com, is KKHI. It gets you 15% off this August on any service. Any service you do, 15% off this month, promo code KKHI. It's just as easy to call Brad personally. Say, I heard Kevin talking about this. I got my car. I got my wife's birthday coming up. I got something, and we want to bring it back to life. You will not believe the work that he does. I'm telling you, I promise you, after he is done with your car, you will want to send me an email and say, wow, you're right. That's unbelievable. I didn't know my car could look like this. TheNewCarImage.com. That's the website. Here's Brad's number. 816-499-1470. That's 816-499-1470. Anywhere from, you know, Blue Springs, Belton, all the way to Lawrence. He's got your ride covered. Pretty cool stuff. On to sports, and the Royals just bombed the living daylights out of the Red Sox on Tuesday night. We don't do a lot of Royals here. It's turning to football season. But I do like pointing out, and we'll continue to point out, that the Royals are a different team when Brady Singer pitches. And it happened again. Brady Singer is on a roll. He's one of the top five pitchers in baseball since June 1st. He was terrific again on Tuesday night. He did give up two runs. He was pitching with a big lead. Give up a solo homer because you're supposed to throw strikes and eat innings, right? So doing his job. Then he gave up a goofy kind of flared single and a stolen base, and then another single, gave up another run that way. It was a great outing. Give up two runs basically in seven innings. You'll take it every time. The Royals win 9-3. I'm telling you, there is a confidence factor to baseball that you cannot see night to night. You can't. You cannot see it with a baseball team. Having played and having been around it a long time, it really exists. Baseball teams have a tendency to know when their guy is pitching that they're going to win. Some teams have three guys, and that's what the Royals need. It's Cole Reagans has been terrific in his three starts. Singer's been just a monster since the 1st of June. The Royals seem to know that. They play better baseball when Brady Singer pitches. Last night, they cracked out 15 hits. Drew Waters was 3-for-5. He homered again. He's on fire. Melendez homered. Massey homered. Crazy part is Bobby Witt was only 1-for-4, 1-for-5 in the game, and the Royals win 9-3. That's That's what you want to see. Games where Bobby Witt doesn't contribute much and the Royals are winning easily, that's what you want to see out of this baseball team. Now, it's easy to say it's August. It doesn't matter. The Royals already blew their season. But the evidence is we're talking about an awful lot of young players here that are starting to do things and show things that they haven't before. Like they could be turning the corner a little bit. I'm not trying to prop this thing up for next year. Half this roster will get overhauled. Don't get me wrong. 25, 26 guys on the roster, you're going to have 10 to 15 dudes gone, jettisoned right out of here. But the ones that they think, like Drew Waters, is going to be the starting center fielder, and he missed the first 2 months of the season. And now he's on fire and playing great. That's what you want to see. If he's hurt and can't play, he's hurt and can't play. Now he's playing well. So that's good. We'll always take that. We'll take the positive over the negative anytime. I'm not making any promises for the future. I'm just saying this is better than watching them just suck all year. They've actually played really good ball the last few weeks. And they're a formidable opponent now. It's not a given win every night when you're playing the Royals. Football news, and most of the football news, we got game coming up. So Chiefs play Sunday. If you didn't know, the Chiefs play the Saints on Sunday. Well, I'm excited for that. I like watching preseason football. I do. I just do. I like watching preseason football. I like football. I'll watch it. There are players that will matter. There are players that will pop up in the Super Bowl that are right now trying to earn a job, earn a spot with their team, playing in these preseason games, might make a huge play in a Super Bowl and make a big difference. But the stars of the game in the NFL now are becoming this era of players and social media and all these things, and the NFL loves this. It's good for the NFL. They're becoming stars off the field. Like, everybody knows Josh Allen, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, all these stars of the league. People know them. It used to be just forever. We knew Tom Brady, but he didn't really do things. We didn't see him. He wasn't very vocal. He didn't do a lot of commercials. Peyton Manning did commercials. Aaron Rodgers did a few when he was younger, doesn't do as many now. But this generation, these guys are out there, man. They're like living their lives in front of everyone. Josh Allen was asked about Travis Kelce, who apparently is upset that Taylor Swift wouldn't meet him. He said, Kelce said on his podcast, Taylor Swift doesn't meet people before or after the show, so I didn't give her a chance to meet me and give her her present. Travis Kelce makes these goofy friendship bracelets. Apparently he made one for Taylor Swift with his phone number on it. Oh my God, Travis Kelce. And he really is mad. He's like, I mean, Travis Kelce's a big deal. He's like, I can't believe he didn't say the B word, but I think he was thinking it. I can't believe she didn't want to meet me. We're both 33 years old. We're both single. I can't believe T-Swizzle didn't want to meet me. So he made kind of a big deal of that. He said on his podcast, quote, I was a little butthurt that she wouldn't talk to me. And I had a friendship bracelet for her with my phone number on it. Josh Allen was asked about this because he and Kelce and Mahomes are all friends. And his response about Taylor Swift refuting Travis Kelce was, quote, I can only tell you it's really hard to say no to Travis Kelce, unquote. Like Kelce's, okay, the friend you can't mention on the podcast is Travis Kelce. That's the dude. It's like, okay, we're doing this and you just can't say no. He comes up with something and says, oh, we're going to do this. It's going to be fun. And you're like, damn it, I can't say no to him. I just can't say no. And so you go do it because you know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to be epic. And if he's into it, hell, half the time he's buying. So what's the point of not going? That's Kelce, apparently. So Josh Allen makes a good point here about Taylor Swift. It's hard to say no to Travis Kelce. And then Allen was then followed up and said, well, what would you have for advice for him on trying to meet her? Because everybody thinks this is the greatest idea ever if Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift hooked up. Like all the young kids on social media just think this is the greatest idea ever. And Taylor Swift isn't really Travis Kelce's type, to be honest. But Josh Allen was asked about dating advice he would give to Travis Kelce to try to meet Taylor Swift. And he goes, well, I'd start with no friendship bracelets. I like Josh Allen. There's no reason not to. It's these AFC quarterbacks, all the good quarterbacks in the NFL are in the AFC. These AFC quarterbacks are freaks, and they know it, and they're confident, and they speak their mind. Aaron Rodgers in the AFC now. Joe Burrow's as cocky as they get. Josh Allen. Justin Herbert's doing Subway commercials with Patrick Mahomes. Wow. I mean, there's just quarterbacks everywhere in the AFC. everywhere in the AFC. It's going to be a fun, fun season. Hopefully all the quarterbacks handle their lives a little bit better than Johnny Manziel has handled his. He's the subject of a Netflix documentary. You remember Johnny Manziel won the Heisman Trophy as a freshman, right? At A&M. Immediately started a autograph scam that was against the rules and made over $100,000 and got caught and was using the money to go party, and he became a party boy. He made it into the NFL, got a bunch of money, and was flaming out. Johnny Manziel, apparently through the rest of his college days, was pretty much drunk every day at practice, hungover all the time, woke up at people's houses or hotel rooms that he didn't know how he got there, and he continued to do this as a player in Cleveland in the NFL. And he flamed out of the NFL, but he made some money while he was there because he got drafted in the first round, you know, and the whole deal. When the Browns finally let him go, Johnny Manziel now says he started snorting coke, spending all his time in Vegas, had oxy pills, was drinking 24 hours a day whenever he's awake, and was diagnosed as bipolar. Over the course of 8 months living that lifestyle, Manziel says he poured through $5 million on a bender before he finally got some help, checked himself in somewhere, and sort of got clean. He is not clean. He readily admits he has fallback problems. He's got issues with his family and his friends and the whole deal, and it still can be bad. He says, fame too young was a killer for me. I could not handle it. We see this with a lot of child actors and things like that. And he said he went out and bought a gun at this point. Quote, I knew I was going to use it, unquote. And then somehow got some help and hasn't used it. He was suicidal. This is a pretty amazing story. Johnny Manziel, if he cleans up, is an easy comeback because he's got a tremendous personality. He knows football. He could be an analyst. He can do a lot of different things. But I feel like maybe he's not really on the right path, because do you remember last week we did a final about Johnny Manziel? And he's opening a bar at Texas A&M. If you're trying to clean up, there are not many Sam Malones in the world from Cheers. That you're a former drunk, you run a bar, and this is what you do to stay sober. That's pretty hard to do. I feel like Johnny Manziel is not back yet into what he needs to be if he's opening a bar at Texas A&M. But I don't judge. It's his life. Do what you do. Just don't hurt anybody else. To this point, he really hasn't hurt anybody else except some women that he was with, but he didn't physically hurt them. He just treated them poorly. Cheated on them, dumped them, all that stuff. Now, there's a lot of guys out there doing that. Johnny Manziel documentary on Netflix is something else. From KCUR, a Kansas City, Missouri public radio station financed by your tax dollars. This is about as left-wing an outfit as you'll ever find in the media. They called some people that are professors at UNLV and other places like that on the ills of sports gambling. And they say, according to studies at UNLV, that 3% of people that sports gamble, it can turn into a problem and change their life. That they can lose their money, they can end their relationships, or they can become suicidal. 3%. Therefore, Kansas really shouldn't have sports gambling on the app. They're trying to paint a picture in this story that the app is actually worse than going to a casino and making a bet. I think I could probably understand that argument, but you have to have the money in your account to bet it. If you bet and lose, you have no money left in there. It's not like you can borrow money from a bookie. You know how many people borrowed money from bookies through the years and got their legs broken when they couldn't pay it back and things like that? You can't borrow money from these people. I guess you can borrow it on your credit card and get in credit card debt, but there's a max for everyone. There's plenty of broke people out there. And somebody with a net worth of $10,000, let's say, or $10,000 combined in the bank and with credit line on their credit cards, blows that, those people are a dime a dozen. And if that's all they had anyway, what'd they really lose? Another $10,000 in credit card debt. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean. It can happen. I understand. Here's the best part of this story. They're warning Kansas. This is a problem. We have addiction. This could all be just horrible. They're writing this story after a year after everybody in freaking Kansas won. Nobody lost last year. Everybody in Kansas last year, the by far and away the biggest handles in the state of Kansas were Chiefs games and KU and K-State football games. Even KU basketball games, and they cover plenty. They didn't have their best year along those lines, but KU and K-State were monsters. They both hit the season total for overs. They covered almost every week. The Chiefs were a juggernaut. The Chiefs got in the playoffs and covered every game, winning the Super Bowl. And then some people, like the governor of Kansas, who made a bet, didn't she? She made a bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and she won, and she cashed it. It was such a bad year for sportsbooks in Kansas. It was such a bad year that the state of Kansas, how much do you think the state, how much, $1.6 billion wagered, the state of Kansas made $5.8 million. And that's a tax. Oh, yeah. Okay. There may be a problem one year. If all three of those teams go out this year and lose everything, there might be somebody with a problem. But it wasn't last year, KCUR, these people in the media, the leftist media, just looking for stories to try to tell you how to live your life. That's all that is. That's a liberal philosophy. We want to tell everyone in Kansas how to live their life. And that includes don't bet $50 on the Chiefs Sunday. Well, oh my God, what if I sent them an email and said, oh, you guys should really do a story now on the ills of betting on a preseason game. The horrors of betting on a preseason game. Can you even imagine? People do. Gives them a reason to watch. $20, $25. I've never met anybody that's bet a bunch of money on a preseason game. I know all kinds of people that have bet $50 or less, and most of those are on the total. They'll usually bet like the under or something because the weather, a lot of games go under anyway. Our final is brought to you by ticketsforless.com. I got an email from a guy yesterday looking for Billy Joel tickets. He said, hey, I don't see ticketsforless.com on the KK list. And it was there, and I don't know what happened. I went back, and it was gone. He's right. We're putting it back on there today. Sorry about that, Tickets for Less, but people are going there anyway. I had just purchased my Billy Joel tickets on Tickets for Less using the promo code KKHI. I got 5% off. We're going to be sitting in the lower level. Should be a nice night. I've already looked at the long-range forecast. It says 88 for a high. Perfect. Going to go with the Cato's. Have a nice time to see Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks. Should be fun. If you want to get tickets to anything, anytime, anywhere, my next up, I already bought Eric Church tickets there. We're going to September. And Turnpike Troubadours at Sandstone. Looking forward to that. But if you want to go see the Royals and Cardinals this week, how about this? Your promo code is not KKHI for that. If you want to buy Royals Cardinals tickets this weekend, go enjoy the game. Use the promo code 1985. Even if you're a Cardinals fan somewhere in Missouri or know people in St. Louis that are coming over, have them get their tickets at ticketsforless.com using the promo code 1985, and they will get a free VIP tailgate pass before the game. It's open 3 hours prior to first pitch. All the burgers, dogs, and sides you can eat, plus all-inclusive beer, seltzer, soft drinks, and water. That's free if you use the promo code 1985 for Royals and Cardinals this weekend. That is an awesome deal. Ticketsforless.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at AdvantageTPC.com. Residential and commercial. Critters are gone. You won't see a thing. Aaron and his family are the best in Kansas City. They cover the entire metro area. If you got anything, spiders, crickets, stink bugs, mice, wasps, gonzo. Even if you got critters burrowing into your attic, or something nasty in your backyard that you're kind of afraid of, give them a call. They got a wildlife division, too. They'll get rid of that stuff for you. 913-768-8989. The best way to have no pests, sign up for the annual service. They come 4 times a year, maybe. I don't know exactly. About 4 times a year they come, and you never see a thing. AdvantageTPC.com. And Daniel and his team at Earth Effects Outdoor. These guys are great American patriots with deep Christian values. This is an outdoor company you want to use for all your landscaping needs, or if you want to build something cool like a fire pit, hardscapes, lighting, eeoutdoor.com. That's Earth Effects Outdoor Living, eeoutdoor.com. Our final is the old Sprint campus in Overland Park. Remember, Sprint was a big deal. What is it with Kansas City companies? They get really big. They make a lot of money. They build all kinds of buildings, and then the buildings are abandoned. I got a giant Kiewit building abandoned close to us at 95th and 435. The Cerner buildings are basically empty and being turned into condos. And of course, Sprint was bought by T-Mobile, and now they don't have any use for much of what they have here in Kansas City. And so they're trying to repurpose those buildings there. It's a massive campus. There's also a whole bunch of land that Sprint kept and said, we'll have this for future use. Well, it never really got used. It's pretty valuable land. It's right across from town center, the theaters, the fancy restaurants, that Park Place area and stuff like that. So apparently they're going to develop this now. And they came up with it. I don't even know how to say the name of the development. It's some fancy ass name that just sounds snobby as all get out, if you ask me. But that's why I choose not to live right by there. Little too many snobs out there for me, but they're going to build, this is really interesting, this under the heading of, if you're going to build something, we'd love to have you. We'll take anything. Andretti Indoor Karting. Mario Andretti has a company where they do indoor go-karts, and they do laser tag and all kinds of other stuff. I'm assuming if Mario Andretti's involved, this is going to be a pretty significant project, that the indoor karting is going to be really cool. 116th and Knoll. That's on the Sprint campus land. That's not where there's a building. Sounds like they're going to build this thing from scratch right there where there are other entertainment options and build more of an entertainment area. Pretty interesting. Andretti Indoor Karting is coming to Kansas City. We will look forward to that. Sounds like it'll be a couple of years before it's built. When it is, maybe we'll have a patron party out there and go ride those carts, baby. Let's go karting with the Andretti Indoor Karting at 116th and Knoll. That's it for today at KKHI. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have not hit the like, follow, or subscribe button when you listen, please do so. Or find a friend and show them how to do it. We'd really appreciate the word of mouth. You guys are awesome about that. If you'd like to join the patrons, it's really simple. Go to kksissues.com on your desktop or your laptop or your tablet. It's much easier than on your phone. It takes less than 5 minutes and you're in. We did a patron podcast yesterday. We'll be doing another one today and another one tomorrow. Love those patron podcasts. When breaking news happens, let me give you an idea of what was on the patron podcast yesterday, because I leave it out of the regular podcast. Yesterday, we did the new January 6th videos that are out there that show the cops talking about all the undercover personnel they have. We did ESPN merging with Penn Gaming, which changes things at Hollywood Casino, as if you've been with Barstool Sports, now you're going to be with ESPN. We did Joe Biden at the Grand Canyon, naming it as one of the 9 wonders of the world. And we did Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes in practice and the passes they were throwing. Those were our topics on the Patreon podcast yesterday. Those things happened during the day yesterday. And at the end of the day, usually around 5 o'clock, I'll do a Patreon podcast, and that comes in, and you can hear it there. If that sounds like something you're interested in, click on kksissues.com and sign up for $5 a month. We'll get you those Patreon podcasts and the newsletter every single weekend from Kevin Kietzman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.